Three influential New Zealand figures are urging the government to open the borders soon. The former Chief Science Advisor Sir Peter Gluckman, former Prime Minister Helen Clark and ex-Air New Zealand Chief Executive Rob Fyfe believe an extended delay will cause huge damage to the economy. They say the strategy of eliminating COVID-19 is not sustainable and must be updated, and they believe the border can open safely with an intensive testing regime and better contact tracing. We can talk now to Sir Peter Gluckman. Good morning.
Good morning, Colin.
Why do you believe that the current elimination strategy is impossible, that it cannot be sustained?
Well, no, it's a very important strategy, and I think let's get it clear. Nobody is saying open the borders today. What we have done is we have done very well. We've eliminated the virus from New Zealand. But at some time in the near future, we have to have a strategy in place for gradually opening the border because we cannot do this indefinitely.
Yes, but you are arguing, Sir Peter, that to do that, we have to abandon the elimination target and have a set level of transmission.
Well, I think this is where the confusion lies. The elimination target, it matters what you mean by elimination. Elimination, it is unrealistic to imagine that there will never be cases of COVID in New Zealand. And Sir David Skegg at the Epidemic Response Committee made it clear that elimination meant reducing it to a predetermined low level. Well, we've done that, and we need to keep on doing that. But the vaccine is still a long way away. There's no guarantee the vaccine will be complete coverage, and people will reject the vaccine. Some people will not accept a vaccine anyhow, and few vaccines are 100% protective, and we don't know for this virus. So we have to start thinking about what strategy we will use. For instance, are we going to go through all of next year with no overseas students in our universities? It's just time to start thinking, while we're in this good state of elimination, how we get out, how we proceed into the future to re-engage with the world. So let's not confuse matters. We've done great things here, and we've done them very well, and we don't want to lose that sacrifice.
Okay, but I just want to be clear. You do seem to be suggesting that we should have a debate about what would be an acceptable, if we accept that we're going to get some community transmission at some point, the border is going to give way at some point. How much is acceptable?
No. Let's just be clear. We're not having a debate. What we're talking about is having a strategy in place so that over time, as conditions allow, we know what to do. At the moment, what things do we need to have in place so we can open the borders at the right time? So there are countries now who have done as well as we have in terms of managing the virus, economies like Taiwan, who are now finding ways to allow some business people to come in, some to other people to come in. We need to start thinking now, not just put into the indefinite future basket. We need to have strategies in place because things will need to be prepared. So it's a matter of prudent governance to actually start to think about, now we've done so well, how do we proceed, keep the advantage that every New Zealander has achieved, but at the same time not keep creating more problems into the future by not having a strategy and the necessary infrastructure.
But is this an issue of communication and the leadership around, the terminology of elimination? Because are you saying that we need to move away from the idea of elimination as it's being described at the moment, that we have no community transmission and that's how it will stay, to one of suppression, where we accept that there might be one or two cases and that we need to live with that and then stamp it out?
It's inevitable. It's just inevitable, logically inevitable, that over coming years there will be cases of COVID in New Zealand unless we're going
to... But my point is, do you think New Zealanders are open to that and understand that,
well,
and are ready for that?
At the moment, because I think there has been a communication. There is this issue of the language of elimination, which has two different epidemiologists mean different things by it. And I think we are all celebrating the fact that we are down to no community spread, and we always want no community spread. And that means being prepared with aggressive contact tracing, aggressive testing, rapid testing. For instance, many countries are now using very rapid testing techniques. And if we get to that position, then our strategy of how we relate to the rest of the world can evolve. But let's not, we can't sit here forever without thinking about the future.
We look at Victoria, and they're getting 70-odd cases a day, and they've had to go back into lockdown. That doesn't leave a lot of room to tolerate a low, predetermined, your words, level of transmission.
But we don't want a community spread, and that's the problem that Victoria has. And I think what if you look at, say, a country like Taiwan, what they have done, or an economy like Taiwan, what they have done is they test people before they get on the plane. They have to have a visa to come. They get there. They test after they arrive. They ascertain whether they come from a country like New Zealand, which has low spread. They then determine how many days in quarantine they require, whether it's 5, 7, or 14. And they continue with testing and contact tracing after that. So nobody is talking about reducing the risk, changing the risk profile at all. What people need to do is realise that unless New Zealand is prepared to stay in total isolation for the next 2 years or more, we are going to have to find ways to distinguish different people, individuals at different levels of risk. And those of minimal risk need to be still assessed as they enter the country, but we need to find a way to manage it. Otherwise, the economic implications and the other implications of near total isolation will be very impactful on a small country.
Just finally, do you believe we have firstly the testing, but in particular the contact tracing system that is strong enough to be able to allow that?
No, and that's precisely the point. I think that's precisely the point. We need to be thinking now about what we would need to have in place so the border could be relaxed for some individuals, some low-risk.
Can you give me a couple of quick examples before we go?
Of what?
In terms of contact tracing, for example, I mean, we're told we've got a gold-plated system.
We clearly haven't, in the sense that we haven't failed, that there have been people out there we haven't managed to contact since in the last few weeks. And clearly there's still ongoing debate about technologies, but I think that there are systems such as the COVID card or the other similar systems that have been developed overseas that meet all the ethical guidelines one would need. And one could require some of these systems to be in place, at least for people who come across the border. If they want to come here, we need to know where they're going and who they're meeting.
Sir Peter Gluckman, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate that.